This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mattress Firm. Sleep hot. Mattress Firm's sleep experts can match you with a cooling mattress from the Tempur-Breeze collection from Tempur-Pedic, so you can experience measurably cooler sleep all night. Get matched at Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. Sleep at night.
If you're like me, you've probably heard this song before. Probably like this song. It's called Renegades. Came out in 2015. It was first featured in a Jeep commercial, and then it went big. Hit number one on the Billboard rock charts, went platinum here in the U.S., also went platinum in four other countries. The song was big. But do you know who sings it? Run away with me. A band called X Ambassadors. They are one of the most successful acts in rock music right now, and yet, in some ways, they fly under the radar. Today, I'm going to take some time to make sure that you know this band. I am Sam Sanders. You are listening to It's Been a Minute, and I am excited to share with you today my chat with Sam Harris, lead singer of X Ambassadors. Yes, another Sam. He is also bald, just like me. Sam and his bandmates have a new album out called Orion. And it's more than just rock. There's some R&B and soul in there. You can hear some hip-hop as well. We talk about the album. We also talk about how rock music fits into the wider music industry right now. And we talk about Sam Harris's recent collaboration with another musician who is having a very, very big year, Lizzo. Sam actually wrote a few songs for Lizzo's newest album. And for this chat, Sam Harris brought his guitar. He's going to sing for us. This is a fun one, y'all. Let's get to it. Enjoy. I gotta just start with a personal question because from one bald man named Sam to another, the thing I always want to ask is like, how do you deal with head sweat when you're performing? Because there's no hair to catch it.
I am constantly, I'm dripping. I'm like a faucet.
Yes!
You know, it gets in my eye.
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
I'm toweling off between every song.
Oh, man.
I don't think I'm ever going to get to a point where I'm like wearing a headband on
stage. I fought the urge.
It's
just like as soon as you put it on, that's all anyone sees.
Yeah. You know?
There's no way around it.
There's no way around it. Do you like shave your head? How often do you
shave it every other day.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, and I have to have the right razor because some of them can chop your head up.
Yeah, oh my God,
I use
man.
A six blade.
Me too.
Yeah.
Do you find it like a kind of meditative experience?
Oh, yeah.
Doing it every other day?
Yeah. It is making you be aware of this part of your body that's always there, but we don't think about enough.
Wow,
You're like, oh, here's my head.
Yeah.
Everything's in here.
Everything's
my brain, my mind,
there.
My soul, my heart. Respect it, protect it.
That's so cool. See, I've never even thought of it like that. I just always kind of like get lost in like the repetition of it. I go with the grain and I go against the grain too. That's my secret.
Yeah. Next time you do it, as you're doing it, say, "Thank you for this." My head, my being, my brain, my mind. I'm grateful for it.
I will. I definitely will.
So I want to talk about the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about how I read that the album that we're hearing right now, which came out last month, this is the third version of it?
Yeah. We went through a lot of different songs trying to get this record right.
Huh.
You know, this one really felt not only like it was a step forward for us creatively, but it also felt like we were taking the sound that we had crafted on VHS and elevated it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than gone a completely different direction.
Yeah. I want to play a song for a bit. Any song from the album you pick.
I
would start by having you talk about Boom, but we can talk about whatever you want.
Let's play that. Sure.
Let's play Boom.
We can play that one. My feet go boom.
What I like about Boom and what I feel like y'all are trying to do with the album is definitively like rock music. You hear the guitars,
yeah,
but like the way the bass is hitting, the tempo, a lot of the other elements are not rock. They're pop. They're dance. How do you get the ratio right? Because if you had, like, had a little less guitar and a little more 808 or whatever, it would have been, like, a different genre, right?
It's a delicate balance. You know, a lot of credit goes to Ricky Reed, who produced that song on Boom. He produced that song with us. It started out as, it was actually an instrumental track that was sent to me by this other producer named Thomas Erickson. And it was, like, this real, like, the bass line, everything was, it was, like, very, like, Chicago house.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, totally different vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of came up with that verse, and then that sat on my computer for about a year.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you want to make a Chicago house song?
Kind of. I mean, it's just, like, that was the vibe.
Yeah,
and then, I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, you could turn this, you could, like, turn this into a rock song. And then... in a session with Ricky, we were writing a completely different song, and I brought that song up to, like, try to find a drum sample in it.
Oh, really?
And he was like, whoa, what did you just play? Play that again.
Huh.
And I played it again, and he listened to it, and he was like, okay, we should work on this.
Really?
Let's stop what we're doing. Let's work on this.
Really?
And, yeah, and then we finished the song in, like, a, you know, a day or two.
Who did the guitar riff?
That was Ricky.
That was so good.
Yeah, I know. He's a master.
Because that really makes it rock.
It really...
When you hear that guitar doing that.
Yeah,
yeah. Because, like, this right now, this is just dance. Like, I don't know what genre this is yet. I know,
right?
I like it. I know, right? I want to move. And I'm moving.
And then it, right here...
That's
it's
it.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's like all of a sudden you're back in, like, 2006 or something like that, right?
My favorite time.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God, I love it.
What if you had to name this genre, because it's not just rock, what would you call this? Well, and then it goes stadium.
Right,
you
and
know?
Then it's
stadium.
Then
it's like, yes.
Then it's big.
But then it's also like there's a drop coming in, which is a little EDM influence. Like,
a little.
Like you feel it, like you're waiting, okay, there's going to be a drop.
Right.
There's going to be a drop. One word for it.
Boom, boom, boom. Just like electric, you know?
Yeah. It's like the scene in the superhero movie where, like, the superhero realizes he's a superhero.
Right.
And then he's like, give me the Batmobile,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Let's go. This is it. Walking away from you. Okay, now I want to pivot to another song.
Yeah.
That is, like, a decidedly different vibe. Rule.
What, that's probably my favorite one on the record. I can't get a grip, no. Feeling like I'm always losing
control, I guess. Nobody leaves this game alive. And so I heard this, and then I was like, this is like,
it's like
an
Sade,
R&B song,
right?
A little Sade. I could imagine John Legend singing it. Like, it is R&B.
Yeah. How can I love you? If I can't lose you, if I can't learn to. That's a part of my musical DNA, you know? And this song just kind of came out of, like, a weird... Casey was on the piano, and he played that, like, this, like, this line.
Yeah.
It's like a Wu-Tang kind of, like,
yeah,
melody,
and the piano's,
right?
A little out of tune, which I love.
Yeah. It's a slightly out of tune. It's a different side. On the first record, we really kind of leaned into not only the rock stuff, but, like, the real aggressive kind of soul element of our music. And and this is a little, it's a little more complex. It's a little more nuanced.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy this made the record.
Well, and also I don't hear too much guitar.
No.
It's synths.
It's just like synths and a little bit of acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you know, it's a three-piece. It's myself, my brother on piano, and Adam, our drummer. And, you know, I can play guitar. I'm an all right guitarist.
I'm not
like a lead guitarist.
Yeah.
So a song like this is nice for us because it really is kind of like keyboard and synth and piano based.
Yeah.
Which is what we are, you know, now as a band.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like that, but Rule on me.
Rule on me. I'm yours faithfully. Who is this song for? It's to somebody.
You know, it's a, I think it's about a couple not only the you know, women in my life who've been in my life mm-hmm. and who I've loved, mm-hmm. but also just, you know, other relationships I've had, you know, be it platonic or whatever,
yeah.
you know, it's letting down that guard that mm-hmm. I think we all have, mm-hmm. you know, and we all build up these layers of self-defense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the hardest thing I think I went through before. This is prior to meeting my fiance. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I met her, it was really hard to wrap my head around being able to be loved and being worthy of love, you know? I think that's something I struggled with a lot in my 20s, you mm-hmm. know, because I didn't really love myself that much. You know, I wasn't, mm-hmm. I had trouble coming to grips with that. And so the idea that someone else could love me
yeah.
was like,
oh, yeah.
No, there must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong
you
with
like
you.
You like me? What?
This makes, I can't, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of about that.
Yeah. So how old are you now?
I'm 30 now.
Oh, it's yeah. when everything starts to change. I'm 34.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every year I'm like, thank God.
Man,
this.
Thank God. My 20s
Man.
Were so rough.
Everyone's,
I mean, amazing
yeah.
things happened
yes.
in my 20s.
Yes.
Amazing
yes.
things happened. I signed a record deal. We put our first record out. We had a number one song. Like
yeah.
a lot of these things in my career.
Yeah.
But in my life,
mm-hmm.
20s are rough, man.
Yeah.
You just like don't know who you are.
Yeah. And so much of your self-worth is... you define it by achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not taking care of yourself because you're hoping that achieving all of these things will show that you're worthy of love.
Yeah.
But then the great thing that happens in your 30s is that you realize whether you achieve the stuff or not, you should just be loved.
Isn't it? It just like makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
I want to cry for like my 20-year-old
oh
self.
Oh my God, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you feel that change in this album compared to the first?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think that this record, a lot of what this record is about my best friend who, he's for a long time struggled with substance abuse
mm-hmm.
and alcoholism. And
mm-hmm.
It eventually got to a really kind of just dangerous point.
Yeah.
So, you know, we eventually parted ways
yeah.
and it's, you know, it's been rough just having been my best friend since
yeah.
I was a kid and all of a
touch?
Sudden, no,
yeah.
I, you know, I've tried reaching out to him. I wrote a whole album about
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah. Do you think he's heard it?
What it is. I hope he has. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
I that's the craziest thing to me is that,
yeah.
you know, like I haven't really heard anything from him.
Mm.
Maybe he'll listen to this podcast.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe. All right, time for a break. When we come back, Sam Harris talks about working with Lizzo and the story behind the name of her song, Jerome. BRB.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/minute to learn more.
The U.S. has the highest incarceration rate in the world, with 2.3 million people behind bars.
This week on Throughline, how we got here. The history of mass incarceration in American culture.
Throughline from NPR, the podcast where we go back in time
to understand the present.
I want to talk more about where you fit in, like, the greater world of rock.
Please help me figure that out because I don't know.
Well, because I think what separates you from the majority of rockers still making rock music today is that you're not mad at the world. I feel like there are a bunch of rockers who hate hip hop, who hate pop, who hate technology,
really?
Who hate streaming.
Like
yeah, and they just
right.
are like, they refuse to let the genre catch up with the rest of the world.
Right, and you're talking about kind of like more like legacy artists,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, I mean, and like, in people that I loved, like,
mm-hmm.
I've heard, bless him and bless the Foo Fighters, but like Dave Grohl has said some crappy things about people making modern music. And you're like,
yeah.
dude,
yeah,
we're all just trying to make music.
I'm a firm believer in like the egalitarian approach to music. What
Explain.
I think is so cool about something like Auto-Tune,
mm-hmm.
right, is that you know, you can say like, oh, it just makes everything sound the same, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, oh, it just, you know, like whatever, like sing, like actually learn how to sing. The coolest thing for me is that there's a kid somewhere in the world mm-hmm. who doesn't really know how to sing that well, mm-hmm. but has crazy ideas yes. for stuff in there, in melodies or lyrical content for a song, and can now get on a microphone
and
express it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, how cool is that?
Yes.
That's what excites me in the genre right now. And where we fit in, I don't know, man.
Like, you don't know?
I have no idea. I think that we will always strive to make music that feels exciting to us.
Yeah.
And that is first and foremost vulnerable mm-hmm. and honest.
Yeah.
I think that and I've said this before, I think that rock desperately needs to diversify itself, like
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of white dudes.
And Lenny Kravitz.
and Lenny Kravitz. God bless him. I love Lenny.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, like, it's boring. It's boring and it's not, I mean, look, I'm part of the problem, you know? I'm part of the problem.
You're not boring.
But I think that there's just a dire need for more people of color, more women in the alternative rock scene. And that's just like, once that starts to happen, I think the genre will start to feel a little less like it's living in yeah. the past. And I just also love learning from so many other artists who have yeah. so much to give. And we will always work with artists who I feel are pushing the boundaries of music. Mm-hmm. Artists like Lizzo mm-hmm. and like K-Flay and
yeah.
and
those are two big good
yeah,
names.
Yeah, they're yeah. both so incredible, and yeah. and that's where I think we fit in.
Let's talk about Lizzo, because y'all worked on three songs with her.
We
for
did
the
three
album.
Songs
Which
with
three
her.
Songs?
So we did "'Cause I Love You."
Yeah, the title track.
Jerome.
Yeah,
and a song called "Heaven Help Me."
Uh huh. And you sought her out.
Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me this story.
So I had heard her somehow. I think maybe my manager had sent me her music, and she was pretty under the radar. This was like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I was so blown away. And it's her music is just so, so incredible. And yeah. I'm hearing the songs that you're hearing now yeah. on the radio, like Truth Hurts and
yeah.
and Good as Hell and yeah. Water Me. And like, uh-huh. I was like, how does everybody not know
yes!
about this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Blew my mind.
Incredible.
So I was like, if there is any chance that we can get in the studio with her, I would love to write with her.
Huh.
And at the time,
we had the same label?
No.
Oh.
So totally different.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, we were starting to take sessions with other artists. And,
uh-huh.
and then by the time our schedules lined up, I went in the room with her and with Casey and Adam, with the other two guys
yeah.
in my band. And we just hit it off. I mean,
really?
The first thing we did was Jerome. We wrote that in a day.
Okay. Wow.
yeah.
Okay.
So we started off with just that chorus. You know, I just had that name. I just had that name
you
in
my
the head.
You brought the name Jerome.
Yeah.
What
had
you thinking about
like,
Jerome?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I was at the gym and that name popped into my head.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a voice singing it like, Jerome, Jerome. And that was all I had. So I sang that for her, and she was like, that's cool. I wish I knew someone named Jerome. Oh, I do know someone named Jerome. And it was like off
wow.
to the races. That was all we had to begin with. And then she just like tells this incredible story
yeah.
about this dude,
Jerome.
About this dude that she knew. Fall in love with that.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
Yeah.
still like so elated that she's having the moment that she's having right now, and I'm just like very honored to be part of it.
Yeah, but this is a thing that people, I think, don't realize enough. Whenever you see an artist like Lizzo firing on all cylinders at the top of her game, mm-hmm. there was a village that, like, did it with her. And
for
so
sure.
when you hear a song like Jerome, you just assume Lizzo's singing about some ex named Jerome, mm-hmm. not knowing that Sam Harris had the first idea for Jerome in the gym, and you are not Lizzo. You are a white guy. And, like, that is, I think, fascinating. Yeah. And I think, like, do you ever worry about working with folks where you're like, all right, Lizzo has such a distinct personality. Lizzo mm-hmm. is Lizzo. How do I get into her head enough to give her a song that is her?
Well, I think, first of all, to just kind of backtrack a little bit, like, it does take a village, but it all starts with her.
Yeah.
Like, this song would not have been what it is
without her experience,
an equal amount of creative input.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
got to give credit where credit
oh,
is
no,
due.
Oh, she's a genius.
She is really, like, an artist like her, she has such a talented musical vocabulary. She is an incredible musician
herself.
Classically trained.
Yeah.
You know, so she's in there, like, she knows theory that I don't know, like, the half of.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for any artist at her level mm-hmm. who is performing at her level, mm-hmm. you have to be the master of ceremonies, you know, and you have to have that broad of a creative mind.
Yeah,
the really, really special ones do, and she's one of them.
One more break. When we come back, Sam Harris tells me whether or not he likes it when people call his music, ex-ambassador's music, radio ready. What does that mean? Is it a nice thing? That is after the break. BRB.
This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside.
Big news stories don't always break on your schedule. But with the NPR app, news, culture, and podcasts are ready when you want them. In your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
Hey everyone, it's Ophira Eisenberg, and here I'm chatting with one of Queer Eye's Fab Five, Anthony Borowski. What's a culinary deal breaker for you?
Ketchup on hot dogs makes me really uncomfortable.
Listen to NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
When did you say to yourself, I know I have something to say through music?
Oh, man. I mean, I've been writing music since... It was kind of one of those things where there was never a moment where I wasn't writing songs and playing music.
Really?
I was never, like, just kind of covering... You know, the first band that I ever put together...
How old
with,
were you?
I was, like, 12.
Wow. Were your parents musical?
My mom is a musician.
Okay.
So this acoustic guitar that I have here with me is actually
Whoa,
hers.
Yeah, it's a nice guitar.
It's a Guild. It's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
I just recently had it all like redone and
it
souped
looks
up.
Great.
Yeah, it's a beauty. It's a beauty.
Man.
She was a musician.
Uh-huh. What kind of music?
She calls herself like a jazz cabaret singer.
Love it.
So a lot of show tunes, a lot of jazz standards and some old classic rock folk songs.
Nice.
But she was always singing when we were growing up you know, like from that time when I was 12, we did all originals.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember your first song that you wrote?
Yeah, it was a song called Lead Rose.
Do it. Go.
I think it went like, kiss me, my lead rose, cold enchantress. Kiss me, my lead rose, I'm a hopeless romantic. I think I was listening to a lot of Matchbox 20 at the time.
And weren't we all?
You know, right? I forget how the rest of it goes.
What is a lead rose?
A lead rose. I just thought that was like cool.
You wanted to kiss a lead rose.
I don't know. You know, I was just kind of learning about juxtaposition at the time.
Yes, you were. And what kind of music was that when you were making it at first?
It was just like rock music because that was that was what was available to us. You
up
know,
in
it was
Ithaca, right?
Yeah, up in Ithaca,
upstate New York. Know,
yeah, we had drums and we had guitars and
you're like
really
in the garage,
crappy PA in my basement. Yeah.
I bet your parents hated it.
No, my parents were actually pretty cool with it.
Okay.
They were pretty cool with it.
Okay.
You know, it was just my mom mostly around. My dad, he worked in the film industry, so he was always out on location.
Yeah.
But he loved that I found a career in the performing arts too.
Okay.
I give a lot of credit to both my parents. My mom for, you know, allowing us to be playing music and, you know, all day and all night. And then my dad to be able to like go on set with him and he was a publicist, so his job was essentially to like
job.
You know, he's running around trying to get photos like approved by the actors and the director and running the EPK crews that are coming, you know, do behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But most of the time he's just like kind of there.
Yeah.
You know, just hanging out and being the friendly guy on set. So I just got to hang out with him and watch all these people working so hard and working so seriously to make a piece of art.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
You know, that's like, that's a career I want.
Yeah.
You know, and so at the time I was like, that's a career I can tangibly have. Because all these people are doing it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting hearing you talk about having a parent in the industry and a mother who's made music. Like, a lot of folks describe ex-ambassadors' music as radio ready, which I think they sometimes mean as a slur, but I'm like, that's great because the whole point is to be on the radio.
Yeah.
But y'all make music that when I hear it, it sounds like y'all know the industry. You know what works. You know what sounds are in. You know how to make something that I'm going to want to blare in my car. When you think about radio ready, like what does that mean? How do you make that sound?
Oh, man, I don't know.
You've heard folks say you're radio ready.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you feel when you hear that?
I feel like...
it's like saying, oh, well, that's mass market. Great, more money.
Right.
You know, like
I remember, we started playing music in Brooklyn as a band, and this was, you know, when there were so many incredible artists who were making, like, really progressive out there. You know, it was TV on the Radio. It was Grizzly Bear.
Oh,
it was Bon Iver. It was St. Vincent.
Shroom rock.
And then we were making this like radio alternative rock stuff that at the time was just like so not cool. And
you felt that energy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember there was a guy who will remain nameless, but was in a pretty popular like indie band. And I met him through someone at the restaurant that I was working at, and we were maybe going to work together on a record. And I remember it didn't end up happening because he wanted money, and we were like, money?
We ain't got no money.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So we made this EP with a friend of ours, which is the first Ambassadors EP that we ended up later getting signed off of.
Yeah.
And I played it for him, and I was like, man, I'd love to know what you think. And and he sent me this message back that was like, wow, guess you guys made like a radio record, mainstream rock record. Good
like
luck with that.
An insult. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you feel seeing that?
I think that's why I'm where I am today. And
and I bet that other guy wishes he had your career.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Does it still get to you when people say things like that?
It does. I think anyone who doesn't wish that they were part of the cool kids club like is lying to themselves
a little
bit. You're
not uncool.
No, I'm not uncool, but I feel
you wrote for Lizzo. You had like two big hits from your first album.
We got some cred.
You're selling albums, which a lot of rockers cannot do. Like I'd say it's cool, but you still feel
because whenever I hear someone say that, then I'm immediately like 13 again, and I'm wearing the dumb T-shirt at school, and I'm getting made fun of by the kids. You know, it's like that's that feeling that comes up. So I can't lie and say that it doesn't affect me, but we make the type of music that we make, and I think that a lot of it just comes from where we come from. You know, we come from a small town. I wanted to get out so badly. I love Ithaca. I love upstate New York.
But it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. But I wanted to get out so bad, so the music that I made had to be that big. It had to be that loud and that broad and that wide-reaching, you know? So I think that's kind of where my my instincts have always lied.
Yeah, and I like it. We gotta let you go, but you're gonna play a song for us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I will play a song.
Which one?
A song called History. Do you know this one?
I like that one.
Yeah. It's a...
Sit on my peace, sit all that's left to say. There's still blood in your cheeks, but your eyes are like miles away. I hope you remember this moment forever, my friend. When you wake up alone, no, I ain't coming home again. Cause you and me are history. You and me are history. I wish you the best, don't regret what we used to be.
Many thanks to Sam Harris for coming in and talking music and singing for us. His band is called X Ambassadors. This song is called History. It's on the newest X Ambassadors album, which is called Orion. It is out now. All right, the rest of this episode belongs to Sam Harris. We're back in your feeds Friday. Talk soon.
Used to be you and me, comrades in arms, side by side. I got love for you, babe. Love ain't enough this time. Cause you and me are history.
Oh my God.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
That's it. You've got the range.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm surprised I had the range today, but
yeah.
Thanks.
That was so good.
Thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Get the service you deserve. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.